This is Alicia, and welcome to the College Life Podcast. I am super passionate about education, personal development, growth, and bringing out the best in every college student. This podcast will help motivate you, empower you, and bring you clarity and confidence in who you are, in your purpose, and help you take action toward a life you love. Don't wait until you graduate to live your best life. Let's start now. Welcome to the College Life Podcast. It's Alicia here, and today I interviewed Raphael, who is a freshman at Cornell University, and he talks about trying new things, looking at what your options are, and being open to change and growing and developing as a person. He also talks about how he had a really strong support system back home and how he's trying to build that right now at Cornell. He also talks a lot about taking initiative, and then we share how we connected and how he recorded a video that was really inspirational to me, and I think it's going to be really inspirational to you. So I hope that you enjoy this interview, and then you will be listening to the video that he recorded called Don't Give Up, and I hope that you enjoy this episode. Welcome to the College Life Podcast. It's Alicia here, and today I have with me Raphael, and he is a current first-year student at Cornell University, and I'm so excited to have you on the podcast today. So welcome, Raphael.
Thank you. My name is Raphael Butanga, and I am a proud first-generation Filipino student studying at Cornell University. I was born in Loak City, Philippines, and I lived there for the first 9 years of my life. And in 2009, I moved to the United States with my mom and older sister, directly to Kodiak, Alaska, to join my father, who is a 30-year cannery laborer veteran. And I've never gone back to the Philippines since then because of how expensive it is, but I definitely do miss home.
And you probably identify as multiple homes, right? You have some... Yeah, that's really cool. So walk us through, how did you end up picking Cornell?
So actually, right at the beginning of last school year, so it was my senior year, I started going through the organizations that I've been in, actually. I was set to go to Johnson & Wales University, but then the Culinary Institute of America also came up because I was more geared towards studying culinary related things in high school. But then near November/December, my English teacher brought up, why don't you look at the Ivy Leagues? But then I didn't really think that there was such thing as a hotel school. It didn't seem like it was a thing. And then I started doing research, and then I had this mentor, her name is Maria Chema, and she brought up the fact that there was the hotel school. It wasn't actually me who ended up finding it. And she said, maybe try and apply here. So then I had that in my list. I had already gotten accepted to the Culinary Institute of America and Johnson & Wales. So Johnson & Wales was my second choice, Culinary Institute was my first choice. And then Cornell University came up. So then that kind of changed the things that I wanted to do, because coming to the Cornell, it wasn't fully culinary. It was hospitality as a whole. So my culinary background actually helped me formulate and perhaps say my story, tell my story, and connect it within the hospitality industry. So then that's how I ended up here at Cornell University.
Yeah, that's so cool. So what are your long-term goals?
So at the moment, it actually has changed.
Already?
Yeah, already. I've been meeting with one of the professors here at Cornell. He was a professor at the Culinary Institute of America, shockingly. And I started working at the Statler Hotel. So we have a hotel here where students can work as a part of just a learning experiential part of the hotel school. And I work as a cook/pastry. And I've actually grown, I don't want to say hatred, because I don't hate it. It's more, it's not the kind of job that I want to do. I don't want to be standing 8 hours straight. So when I came here, I thought, okay, I'm going to become a chef. I'm going to work in the kitchen. So right now, it has changed. It's probably more into the marketing side. It's maybe entrepreneurship if I continue what I did in high school, because I ran a photography business and a food business. So I might go that route and continue to develop within that part of me.
Yeah, I love that, because this is so important that you are trying this. You are trying all the things that you're like, wow, this is something that is exciting to me, and you're getting into it. And then you're really reflecting and saying, what do I really want out of my life? And what are my options? And you're starting to see that there are other options that might be better fit for you.
Well, you know, the hard thing is the hotel school is, it's one degree, and you're on a track that it's so hard to move things around because it's prescribed. But at the same time, I've found ways to, I'm taking a Filipino course, I have a leadership course, and I've just been taking several different classes here and there to kind of explore a little bit more. But here at the hotel school, it's like all hotel based. So there's kind of that struggle, but at the same time, it's really up to you as a student if you want to take more. So it's kind of more work to get to really know what you want to do.
Yeah. And have you considered other options outside of like that particular major?
You know, I actually have.
Okay.
I thought about videography. I am in love with visual arts. It just brings so much joy to me, I think, seeing things and documenting it in such a way that we would never be able to see it again. I know some people have a different opinion in saying, enjoy the moment. I think I love preserving moments so that others in the future can actually also see and enjoy what I enjoy. And that's why I might be taking some visual classes next semester.
Yeah, and then just on how we connected, it makes a lot of sense, and which we'll talk about and we'll get into, but that's really exciting. And I think you're in such an exciting time in your life. And from what I've seen, and I've worked with hundreds of college students one-on-one, and from what I've seen is that if you're willing to explore and reflect and like be real with yourself and keep trying to just gain experiences that do bring you joy, you're going to do amazing things in the world. So I think keep pursuing that and you're going to do awesome things. And I want to also say too, that it's cool that you're like in it right now. And I think a lot of times, a lot of students that I have on the podcast are later on in their career. So seniors, potentially like postgraduate, where they're kind of working full time now and reflecting on their experience. And it's really cool to see you are in it and actually doing the work.
I think that's because of my leadership class.
Really?
I've actually grown frustrated with it because my professor just keeps saying it needs to be deeper. And to me, what is deeper? And it's making me hate the class, but at the same time, it's really helped me develop and mature as a person to really figure out who I am, what my passions are, and really just be able to see where I can take myself and continue to challenge myself. It's just so frustrating when you get a comment saying it needs to be deeper, but you don't know what it is. But again, as I keep going towards it, my brain starts to work at moments that you couldn't even imagine. And then it just like, whoa, it's right there. So it's amazing that even though I'm at the hotel school, I'm like taking this leadership course that's helping me mature within the hotel industry.
Mm-hmm. Wow, what a cool opportunity for you. That's amazing. So I wanted to talk about maybe any challenges that you've experienced. So you are about 6 weeks in to your first year in college. What challenges have you experienced so far?
It's crazy to think about. As a first generation college student, actually coming to Cornell was not a part of my vision. It wasn't something expected in my family. My mom had dreams for herself to attend college, but it didn't end up happening. My sister went to college and she actually just finished, but then none in my family ever thought that I would be coming to an Ivy League. And at the very beginning, I went through a phase, it's called imposter syndrome. This was during the summer because I had to be here in order to come to Cornell. 200 students were selected to be a part of the pre-freshman summer program. It was to get acclimated to the university itself. And I went through this phase thinking, I went through so much in high school, but it doesn't seem like it's going to get valued within this place because there's so many more students who are more successful than I am. And I started to question, why am I here? Where do I belong? Where is my safe zone? And it really alienated my mind. And I got to the point where I didn't want to continue, but at the same time, I had a community back home that was so supportive, so strong, that they believed in my abilities. What I really did was I used social media. I would do updates, as I would call it. I would provide them updates on what's going on with me, and I would really just talk to them about the struggles that I'm going through, whether it be academically. I went through a great high school, but at the same time, what Cornell expects from students is so much more than what high school has. You have to develop time management. That's something that's always going to start to come up now. You got to be able to take initiative. That's a big one. If you are not doing things for yourself, you start to lag behind. And that's what I liked about my high school is I was able to develop those skills, come to the university, and continue to grow and develop. When I came to the move-in day, this is now after I went through the pre-freshman summer program. I thought I was ready. I told myself, wow, I got awarded the Community Leadership Award from the pre-freshman summer program. So I said, you know what, I'm ready. But when I got here, I didn't have my parents, my sister. I didn't have support, physical support dropping me home or dropping me here to Cornell. And I just looked around and to see so many families who had their parents with them, had even their grandparents help them out, move their luggages. It was so hard. I thought, where's my community? Where are they in the times that I need them? I thought I was strong. I thought I was ready. But when I came in here, I felt like there was nobody. Even though I was here during the summer, I didn't get to see the friends, the connections that I made during the summer until weeks later, because we were all separated now. And something that I vividly remember was flying in to Syracuse, and then I got on an Uber. And once I got here, they wouldn't let the Uber in because apparently it wasn't the right car to get through. I wasn't here at the right time. But I was scheduled at 1:30. So what ended up happening with the Uber was we were rounding around Cornell for at least 30 minutes. And what ended up happening was I just asked the Uber to drop me off about a mile away from my dorm, and I was lugging three of my luggages along with this plastic bag, which I am so glad that it didn't break. And when I got close to the dorms, there were students who were supposed to be helping me, but I wasn't even provided with the help that I was needing. I mean, I guess it was to my ignorance that I didn't ask for help, but just watching them, I thought they would just come and approach a student coming all the way from Alaska, a student who is here by themselves moving in. And what hurt me the most is that the people, the student who had their parents, had their grandparents, had siblings here, were getting help from students. And there was me, who wasn't getting the support that I was hoping I would get. And that made me question, what is hospitality? Cornell has a hospitality school, but where is their hospitality? Right at the very beginning, you're supposed to feel hospitality. And those are the kind of struggles that I went through at the very beginning. And then I am staying in a single dorm. So that kind of added up to the struggle from the very first day of moving. As I looked out my window, I remember just seeing a bunch of students who had already formed friends because they got here a day earlier than I did. And it just, it was so hard for me as a person of color to just walk up to them and try to be a part of their group. I didn't feel comfortable. I didn't have anybody who just would come up to me and ask how I was doing. And this was also in the cafeteria. I ate breakfast, dinner, and lunch by myself for the first few weeks. I would try to go and sit with somebody, but most of the time, I would get this feeling of, why are you coming to sit by me? And what would end up happening is they would stand up and just leave. And again, that feeling during the summer came back. Do I belong here? Where is my place? Where are my people? And I wasn't seeing that. During the summer, I had a lot of people who had the same skin color as I am. But when I got here, it was dominated by people who I wasn't able to relate to. I tried my best to try and relate to them, but it broke me down. It broke me down mentally. And then I didn't call home, because it goes back to that feeling of, I'm strong, I can do this, I have support, and I'm ready. But it broke me down. It didn't help me at all. The second week, I ended up calling home, and my older sister asked me how I was doing. And that question, really at that moment, it made me realize how important family is, how important having a community, how important it is to remember your roots, to know where you come from and value it. Because nobody can ever take that away from you except yourself. And I tried to do that to blend in. But that shouldn't be the purpose of college. College is where you're gonna come and learn. You develop from the struggles that you have and to remember where you came from, because that's what's gonna ground you and say and show to people that you belong here, whether it be a 3,000 student university or a 10,000 student university, you have a place in a prestigious university such as Cornell University.
Wow. So how are you building community now? Like what have you done, I guess, to try and, yeah, find your community at Cornell?
Yeah. Really what I've done is, I went through several stages of things, actually. I stayed within the hotel school and I applied for a job because I remembered that food is my home. Mm-hmm. It's what my mom and I did. So that was one of the first steps that helped me build a community. I ended up finding the friends who I formed relationships with throughout the summer. We ended up seeing each other, and those are the people who know the struggles we went through during the summer as we got acclimated to the place. I've also attended a talk by Assistant Professor of Education at Harvard, Anthony Jack. He is also the author of The Privileged Poor. And he has this quote, and it says, access is not inclusion. And that's what I felt here at the very beginning. I had the access to an education that a lot of students strive to have, hope to have, but I didn't feel included. And I want them to know, the students who aspire to come to these prestigious institutions, that if you get in here, you have to expect as much as the education expects from you, as much as the institution expects from you. You can't just let them expect so much from you that you get burnt out. It needs to be you asking the education as much as they are asking you.
Yeah, so really experiencing that reciprocity. Like, you're investing so much time and energy, and so you're expecting that kind of same time and energy and that quality, right? And feeling inclusive as well. Yeah, I really appreciate you sharing your story, because I think there are definitely students of color listening to this podcast who probably really identify with your story and can say, wow, I'm not alone in this, because a lot of our institutions are mostly white. And then I know, especially at like Ivy Leagues as well. So I really appreciate you just being vulnerable and sharing that.
Yeah, I think it's very important, because I ask myself, where are my Filipino community? Where are they? And you look around, and when you feel that there's nobody there, you go into a stage of, you feel that you're struggling alone, and it's important to know that there's someone else. And most of the time, we're unwilling to accept it, to say it, because we come from communities that build us to become strong, and to say that we're ready for this. But again, it goes back to, it's gonna be okay. There are people around. It's gonna take time, it's gonna take patience. But how much patience? That's what I questioned myself. How much patience is it gonna take? How much time am I gonna have to wait? But then it goes back, you need to take initiative and find them, and eventually it will come.
Yeah, and I have full faith in you that you are gonna make that happen. So it'll just be a matter of time. But that's interesting to think about, like, how long will that take? Yeah. Well, I want to talk a little bit about this thing that you did. So you met Michelle Obama, which I found out about through your video, which we're going to talk about in a second. But how the heck did that happen? And that is so cool. What is she like?
Oh, my goodness. She is such an inspiration. Mrs. Obama, she's so friendly, motherly, inspiring. Mm-hmm. And I felt a sense of hospitality with the small amount of time that I spent with her back in 2016. The story that got me to the White House was, I took part in a summer film intensive course. It goes back to my videography work back in 2015. And then I ended up interning after the videography course at our local museum called the Baranoff Museum. And then my mentor, Marie Achema, applied for the National Arts and Humanities Award back in 2016. And we ended up winning the award, and I was the student recipient along with my mentor, who you would have seen in the video.
Yeah.
And a little bit more about being at the White House, I got to meet the head chef, Christetta Comerford, who is a Filipina.
Oh, cool.
It was very exciting. It was two inspiring ladies who I've always wanted to meet. So it was really nice being there. It's hard to put exact words to what it felt being there.
Mm.
That's why every single time I look at that video, I still say, oh, I was there. That was me. And if you watch the video, I spread my arms so wide, like the original video, which is also on YouTube under 2016 National Arts and Humanities Award. The people there actually laughed when I was so ready to just get a hug from the first lady. It was, oh, as a 16-year-old, I was like, it's home. I'm here.
So almost like a sense of home in that, right? In that space. That is really cool. Yeah, I find her so inspiring. And I mean, she has a movement, I don't know if you've heard about it, but Reach Higher, where she's really trying to invest in education specifically beyond high school. And I love her in all different kinds of facets, but yeah, anyway. Yeah,
she also has the initiative, Better Make Room.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That one.
And yes.
I've been keeping track with the Better Make Room initiative of hers also. And it's so exciting that she continues to do these initiatives, even though they're already out of the White House. And it's so amazing to see the authenticity and
mm-hmm.
the realness within their hearts. And it's, when I was on stage, I remember her saying, go and get an education. And that's the photo where she was pointing at me, go mm-hmm. and get an education. And I got to visit Georgetown University when I went there. And I remember telling my sister this, I'm not going to college. And that did not happen. I ended up coming to college. And it's partly because of the inspiration that she instilled in me. The words, the wisdom that she said during that event. I still go back to the video and just listen to what she says. And it's just so, so heartwarming. Even though I'm 3 years older now, it's just so nice to be able to go back.
Yeah, and it's something that you'll never forget. And I wonder if that also is like why you feel so connected to savoring moments, you know, because you're able to savor that moment.
Yes.
That's really cool. I love that. Well, let's move on to kind of how we connected. So I am on a listserv of academic coaches. So I'm an academic coach at a university, and I was on a listserv, and your professor, I believe, shared this video with a bunch of folks. And I was like, oh, let me just click on it. What is this thing? And I usually don't click on things like that. I'm just like, whatever. But she said it was motivational, and I was like, oh, let me just go check it out. And I click on it and I'm like, okay, it's 3 minutes, but you immediately like captured my attention. Like I was engaged from the beginning because you just know how to grab hold of your audience, I guess, maybe. So I like listened the whole way through and I'm like, wow, I think I should interview this guy. Like, you're amazing. And I was like, oh, this is so cool. And so, yeah, I just am always looking for inspiring college students, people who are putting themselves out there, who are trying new things, who are really trying to go for their dreams, even if it's not clear yet. You know, like I know that you have a lot of passion and interest and it's not necessarily clear about how you're going to impact the world, but you're doing the things to make that happen. And that to me is so awesome. So I was like, I need to have you on the podcast. So I emailed your professor and now you're here. So before we actually share the video, I want to just learn more about, well, why don't you tell us a little bit about what it's about?
Yes, the video is a motivational / inspirational video that I created during the summer, pre-freshman summer program, in which I participated in a seminar class called College Achievement Class. And really, the class was about learning to balance your time and going to sleep, getting enough sleep. But then throughout the semester, we did small reflections here and there. And we were expected to do an overall presentation of what we experienced during the summer. So actually the video was a speech that was done through PowerPoint that I did in class. And I started it out as a meditation in which all of the students in the class had their eyes closed when I was saying the speech. So it wasn't, they actually did not see me. And it's just about taking initiative, going after the dreams that you have. And this really is inspired by how much my community has supported me back in Kodiak. And I wanted to be able to give that back here at Cornell. And it was through motivating the students who otherwise would not have had the motivation. I mean, I remember one of the students is saying, we did not expect to get a TED Talk. And that's not the effect that I wanted to get. I just wanted to let them know that we belong here. And that's something that's going to keep coming up, that we belong here. It's my main focus. I belong here because I was accepted. And that video just really encompasses going at it, having grit, moving forward. Because at the very end, I ended as saying, you gotta wanna succeed as bad as you wanna breathe. Because if you stop breathing, how are you gonna move forward? And I know there's such a big contrast between the two that it makes you question at the very end, who am I? What am I here for? What are my goals? And that's the impact that I really wanted to have out of that video.
Yeah, I definitely think you had that and more. So what other feedback did you get from students? Was there anything else? Or was that pretty much it?
There was a lot of feedback, actually, because I during the presentation, it was that speech combined with my life story. And they were just so shocked with how I articulated my story and how I connected it. Because how I ended the presentation was I showed them a white screen saying, this is the future that I see. And it was bright white because I connected it to uncharted territories because it was a pure blank page. And everybody was just in awe because at the very beginning, I had them close their eyes. And then to wake up to something so bright just gives so much hope. And it's amazing how much we can do with words and how much we can impact people.
Yeah, I agree. And it'll be interesting to think about how people are going to experience it with, you know, over the podcast whenever it's just voice, right? Versus like your visuals with it as well. So that'll be interesting. So if you are listening and you want to listen and watch, and then let us know what you think and see like which one's more powerful for you. But yeah, I think the way that you speak about your story, the way that you speak about what you're passionate about is very inspiring. And if you ever need motivation to keep going, you just give me a call and I'll like make sure that you know that. Yeah, you've got some amazing things happening for you. I think one of the things that really stood out to me was you said we need dreamers who are doers. And I've never heard it quite put like that. On my Instagram, on one of the things, it's like on my personal Instagram, I said like I'm a dreamer and I'm a doer because I totally align with both of those things. But I've never heard it really said that we need dreamers who are doers. And I just really resonated with that for me personally, because it's so real. Like I'm going to dream and I'm not going to stop dreaming, but none of that matters if I don't do anything about it. So I really resonated with that. I'm curious, how has this message helped you in your own life?
Really critical reflection. Mm-hmm. It gives me a sense of relaxation and sense of healing from the struggles that I've gone through. I mean, I still go through a lot of struggles, but to find strength from the struggles and find ground to it really just the message. It's like having a mantra. You keep going back to it. You're going to lose track. You end up going back to it because of how powerful it is, how powerful your story is. And that's something that I want every single student, no matter where you come from, what color you are, that your story matters.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter if anybody questions it. It's something that nobody can take away from you. And as I keep going back to the message of that video, it brings me back home away from home.
I think at the beginning of the video, you mentioned something about how there are people, something about how everybody falls, everybody falters, everybody kind of messes up. I'm curious, is like, who do you look up to, who you know has really messed up and been able to bounce back? Who really inspires you?
That is a very tough question. I like to say, in the wider sense, as bigger figures, I would say former First Lady Michelle Obama. She is very inspiring to me. But in my heart, my mother, she runs our household as a single income parent, because my dad can no longer sustain the physical things that the cannery expects of him. So it's all on my mom now. Even though she didn't go to college, she has dreams for us, but she doesn't force it. She lets it mature within us, and that's so inspiring to me, so motivating, because I'm not expected to be something who I am not, someone who I am not, more than to be developing to the person I hope to become and to nurture who I am as a person. But to still have support, strong support from her, is second to none. It's what you would really want from your parents. You don't want someone who's expecting so much of you that you're not able to grow and develop to be the person you hope to be. And it's so inspiring to have a mother who did not go to college, but lets her own child become who he wants to become.
Yeah, that is such a huge blessing. And I don't think that is incredibly common, which is unfortunate for most students and most people. A lot of us, don't have that kind of support, or there's a lot of pressure, right, to do certain types of jobs or to do certain types of things without really even knowing who you are or who you want to be and being able to have the space to explore that. So that's a really, really incredible opportunity for you. And she sounds amazing. So you need to give her a hug next time you see her for me.
Definitely.
Awesome. Well, I mean, I guess while I have you, if you were giving a TED Talk in front of all these college students, what's the one message that you would want every single one of them to know?
Heal. Find a sense of healing with the fast-paced world. I think with all the things that are going on around, it's important that we reflect, and healing comes from that. And if we don't ever heal from the wounds created from our struggles, it's difficult to move forward because you'll always be carrying it. We can't keep putting band-aids on it. We have to recognize it, be self-aware, and heal from it.
Oh, that's really, really good. And that's a great place, I think, to kind of wrap up. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. I really appreciate you and you sharing your story. You're an incredible human, and I can't wait to see what you do. So please, you can keep us posted. Come on here every now and then and keep us updated on your progress. So, I wanted to give you the opportunity. Is there anything that you're working on or that you want people to connect with you at?
Yeah, of course. If you'd like to learn more about me, please visit rafaelbatanga.com or contact me through rpb235@cornell.edu. I am more than willing to speak with you about college and any questions that you may have.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you. And I'll share those in the show notes as well. So yeah, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate it. I hope that you enjoyed this episode of the College Life Podcast. I want you to know that what you do matters, and every single one of you has something to give this world, and Raphael is just one of those students. So I know that there are more of you out there. If you want to connect with Raphael, make sure that you do that. Make sure that you go check out his video if you need some inspiration again, and don't ever give up. I hope that you enjoy his video.
Every champion has felt it. Every successful person has felt it. Everyone has felt it. The urge to quit. Don't you give up on your dreams. It doesn't matter if you don't have the money for it. If you don't have the family or the friends for it. Don't you give up on your dreams. Don't you do it. You may not read as fast. You may not move as quick. It might take you twice as long. You may not have as much, but don't you quit. If you lay dead, even the animals won't bite you. The risk of being bitten is at the cost of getting up. Are you so concerned about being bitten that you are willing to spend the rest of your life laying dead? Or is there something pumping deep inside you saying, bite me or not, I'm getting up. I'm gonna do everything that I can, anything that I can do, and I'm going for it. Anybody can do anything they set their mind to, but it depends how bad you want it and what you will do to achieve it. It doesn't matter where you come from or what color you are, you matter. Don't let anyone measure your successes based on their ruling. Your dreams have the power to build mountains, to contribute to the beauty of our world. In this world, we need dreamers. In this world, we need doers. But most of all, our world needs dreamers who are doers. Your pain climbing towards success is going to be a part of your prize, a part of your product. Never give up. Never give in. You gotta want to succeed as bad as you want to be.